Hello and welcome again to the Authority of Love. This is a Family Foundation Friday. I'm Greg Williams, your host, with my co-host and good friend, David Walls. Thanks again for joining us, David. It's always a pleasure.
Yep, always good to be with you, Greg.
And we got a lot going on. Even though the session's about over, we're going to talk about that in a moment. We got a lot going on, got a lot to praise for. So why don't we start with the, I know you sent this out, but there was a law that was really strong. It passed very strongly, and the governor signed it into law, right?
Yes, the important bill about protecting children, and specifically had protections to protect children from online pornography that would require sites that have content that's harmful to children to have to age verify to ensure that children don't have access. And so that bill, as you and I had discussed previously, Greg, passed unanimously. Yeah, it did pass unanimously
in both chambers. Right.
And we're thankful that Governor Beshear signed that bill into law. And so that's it's encouraging to see, you know, that there's issues protecting children from harm that can still receive bipartisan support. So we're thankful to the governor in this case. We're thankful for Representative Matt Lockett, who carried the underlying bill and put in a lot of work on this issue. There's other parts of the bill, not just the online protections for kids. There's some other protections for children as it relates to a number of important topics. So thankful for Representative Lockett. Thankful for Senator Jay Williams, who carried the amendment to add the online protections when this bill was in the Senate. So we're thankful that the General Assembly, that this bill is now becoming law. And just to remind folks, today is the legislature is reconvening for the final two veto override days, as they're so-called. They can do more than just override bills that the governor has vetoed these last 10 days or so. They can pass legislation that's still in play, but if they were to pass a bill today or pass a bill on Monday of next week, and the governor was to then veto that bill, they wouldn't have
veto
a further opportunity
to override.
So the governor's vetoed a number of bills, most of those bills are kind of outside of the scope of issues that we work on, but it'll be interesting to see what the legislature does with some of those other vetoes, and there's a couple other important bills that they could still pass that I think maybe the governor would not veto. But so just be praying for your legislators these two final days to do all that they can to finish the session strong.
And as you're saying that, David, I want to go back to a bill that we talked about earlier that it would make sense to piggyback on this, at least for the next session. What about the adult entertainment? That's protection of kids and pornographic issues and things like that. Yeah. So it's just a word to the wise. Let's keep praying and look to push some of these over the finish line next session, or even now.
And you and I, we talked a little bit about this. We'll break this down more once we get past the session. But there's a lot of really important bills that the legislature chose not to pass, which is it's disappointing. The bill by Senator Tishner to protect kids from adult performances and drag shows and so forth. That bill was at the finish line, and the House chose not to take that bill up. And that is a bill that we would suspect the governor would veto that bill. And so, unfortunately, that's going to be two sessions in a row that the Senate has passed a very important bill, and the House has just chosen not to give it a vote. If they had, it would have passed.
I think so too. I don't think there's any doubt. You know better than I do. But the other part of that is back to what we said. The real reason for that is not to expose children to these things at such a young age, to protect them.
Yeah.
And we just had a unanimous vote in both chambers, and the governor signed it. It would only make sense to extend that to those kind of things. So anyway, prayer and thoughts and your voicing your concerns can help on that. In line with that, David, we've done this several times. There are a couple of other states that have taken some strong action with regard to life and abortion. Could you share with our listeners what that is?
Yeah, folks, if you've been following what's been happening, particularly on the life issue, a lot of conversation about the issue of life and abortion this last week, Greg. There's been a couple of big pro-life victories, pro-life legal victories in Florida. They had a victory at the Florida Supreme Court on important pro-life legislation that is going to lead to their heartbeat bill, I believe, ultimately being able to go into effect. But conversely, there's also going to be a ballot, a pro-abortion-led ballot initiative in the state of Florida that's going to seek to, you know, probably do something similar that unfortunately happened in the state of Ohio, where they're going to try to enshrine the right to kill an unborn child into the Constitution. So we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters and those that support life in the state of Florida. That's going to be a big issue. And then just in the last few days, there's been really big news and a lot of media attention on the state of Arizona. So their state Supreme Court had a strong, it wasn't a constitutional argument, it was kind of a statutory interpretation argument, but not to go too far in the weeds, but Arizona, similar to Kentucky, and many states, had pre-Roe bans on abortion. You know, and look, you and I have talked about this. The reality is most states banned abortion prior to
73.
To 73.
That's right.
You go back to the common law. There's always been a right to life essentially recognized in the law, and a recognition that abortion is taking another life.
And most of that came from a biblical worldview that people stood on.
Right.
That's part of the issue. So, yeah.
So what happened in Arizona is this law that I believe was passed back in 1864, but was in effect until January of 1973. Effect until January of 1973, until Roe. And the Arizona legislature had never taken it off the books after Roe. So it's still the law. So once Roe came down, that law was available essentially to go back into effect. And essentially the Supreme Court has said, yeah, that law is, it's still on the books. It's still the law.
Valid.
And what you have seen is the pro-abortion industry and the media, they have been continuing to really absurdly freak out over the idea that laws that have been on the books protecting preborn children would be enforced.
Yes.
And so, and unfortunately what you're seeing, as you and I have talked about this issue, Greg, is even some Republicans who had proclaimed that they were pro-life, now that the attention, the heat, the intensity on this issue has continued to be turned up, you're seeing some revealing things happen about where people really stand on the issue of protecting life. But at the end of the day, this was a strong pro-life decision that we're thankful for in Arizona. But now their legislature, and they have a very slim Republican pro-life majority. There's already efforts, I'm seeing reported that, to remove that law. We'll have to see how things go. But the reality is we're in a new era of protecting preborn life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thankful that here in Kentucky and a number of pro-life states, now in Arizona, effectively in Florida, two more states that are going to be joining the ranks of states that either prohibit or effectively prohibit most abortions. And that's something we should be thankful for, but it's something we can't take for granted.
No.
And as we're seeing, this is going to be a part of the national conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a part of the state conversation. At every arena, we're going to have to be willing to continue to contend for life.
Yeah, and they those who are in the abortion camp, they don't want it to be states' rights. We're going to talk about that in just a moment as well. They want it to be a blanket coverage. Everybody, anytime, anywhere can have an abortion. I have to say this from a ministry and a biblical standpoint, David, is that as Christians, we need to understand, first of all, where the Bible is, and when God gives life, and he's the one who gives life.
Right.
I go into conversations with couples and in conferences and stuff oftentimes. He's the one who gives life. God's not surprised and go, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have given life there, so you can go ahead and take that one.
Right.
He doesn't do that. And we as Christians have to stand on that, the validity and the sanctity of the life that God has given.
Absolutely.
He knew us before he even formed us in the womb.
Absolutely.
He had a purpose for us. And if we're going to be Christians, we need to stand on that. And I think, David, we've talked a little about this. That's part of the unfortunate divide in what we call Christians and conservatives.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we're seeing a lot of so-called, there are Republicans, but they are waffling on this issue of life, really. And I've even said, Christian people. But Greg, if my teenage daughter got pregnant, I would want her to have that option. And I just simply have to say, I understand the heartbreak and the heartache in that and the struggle, but your circumstances, nor mine, changes God's truth.
Right.
And that's what we have to stand on as Christians and help people see. If other Republicans or conservatives don't want to, they have that right. But we have to teach that. And if you're a Christian, you have to stand on that biblical truth.
Absolutely.
And so I just needed to say that. And speaking of that,
yeah,
candidate and former President Trump has come out and spoken on this as well.
He did. And I have to say, well, you know, I'll preface the comments by saying, look, you know, continue to be thankful for the pro-life gains that were made
yes.
during his presidency.
Yeah.
You know, the reality, the reality that, you know, the Supreme Court justices, the pro-life right. Supreme Court justices that he appointed played a, you know, were the deciding factor in leading to Roe coming down in the Dobbs decision. So thankful yes. for that. But he is unfortunately now seems to be once again, you know, following the political winds instead of standing courageously on the issue of life. And he has, you know, put out a statement this week or a video, I believe, essentially saying, look, abortion is now only a state's rights
rightly
issue.
Rightly so, and where we stand.
Right.
Right.
Well, but it's Gray, it's not. While we're thankful that Roe has come down in states like Kentucky and now Arizona and Florida and other states can have their pro-life laws
yes.
in effect and you know saving lives, the reality is we still have to contend for life at the national level. What are we? I mean, we have a moral obligation. There's you know, we're seeing abortions increase in pro-abortion states, in states like California, in states like New York.
Right.
I mean, the reality is we have to contend for life at the national
yes.
level, at the state level, at the local level,
yeah.
in our churches, in
yeah.
our families. We have to continue to contend and build a culture of life. And we're living in a moment now where the pro-abortion side is on the march. And they have the wind behind them. They have the media increasingly
yeah.
behind them. And they're exposing themselves for how radical
yes,
they truly
exactly
are,
right.
They are the ones pushing a radical agenda that says we demand the ability for any preborn child to be killed for any reason in the womb at any point in pregnancy, and they want to have taxpayers funding it.
Yeah.
And so
that's
look,
the waffling.
Look,
that's where we're finding
right,
the waffling with
right.
with candidate
so,
Trump
certainly,
and others.
Certainly disappointed. We need a leader at the national level that continues to recognize that we're going to have to push at the national level to contend for life. And ultimately, you know, we've got to get to a point where we recognize that preborn lives in the womb deserve equal protection
yes.
anywhere.
Yes.
We can't long term live in a nation that based on your address is whether you
right.
can kill a preborn
right.
child or not.
Right.
We can't live in
or
a nation
your circumstances.
That here in Kentucky you
right.
can't kill a preborn child.
Right.
You cross state lines now in the state of Ohio and it's open season on preborn children.
Yeah.
And so it's going to take a lot of work. This is not going to be an easy
yeah.
A fight or debate, but it's never been.
Yeah, no. And back to
yeah.
my point I made a moment ago, God didn't say in his word, if your address is here or if your circumstances are this,
yes.
I'll let you kill the baby that I gave
right.
you. He didn't say that.
Right.
And he never would because he's the giver
yeah.
of life. And so
yeah.
there's a couple other things quickly. NAIA, National Athletic, I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. It's a national athletic group, not the NCAA.
For the smaller private
strong,
yeah,
right, schools.
Strong
right.
statement in support of saving women's sports and saying only female athletes should
right.
should compete in female sports. We'll have more to say on that,
yeah.
but that's an encouraging development at the national
Absolutely.
Level.
Absolutely. And don't forget the voter guides at iVoterGuide and VoteKentucky.us for the primaries. David, thanks for being with us
Absolutely.
Again. Thanks for you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Make it a great day, and God bless in Christ. I'm Greg Williams with David Walls, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.